Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We are back. And we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Here to talk UFC 271. Main event, Israel The Last Stylebender Adesanya defending the middleweight title against Robert the Reaper Whittaker. Here to talk about all things UFC 271 for DraftKings and FanDuel. I am your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper. With me, as always, the analyst, the important guys of this show. I'm just the comic relief. It is Chris Olsen. You can find him on Twitter at RealChrisOlsen, and Joe, better known around the MMA DFS world as Sun Tzu, at Sun Tzu, if for some reason you don't have it. Guys, huge card, huge contest. Are you ready?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. Why couldn't they have? Sorry, Chris. I want to stomp on your lead there, but Chris and I are both in badly need of a shave and a haircut. Me more so because I look like someone's grandfather right now.
I shave for the first time in years.
Yeah. What I do is, guys, just a quick side. I go into Iconic Male in Glenrock, New Jersey, and I tell these guys, I'm like, everything but the eyebrows. Just like, take it all off, baby. So I really wish that these prize pools were the prize pools they had for UFC 270 when I had six tickets to the 555. I'm like playing for my second one tonight in the NBA, so I've got one locked down, but nice prize
behind me.
Yeah. Are you playing too? Are you in there?
Yeah, but I have a duplicate lineup with somebody, so best case I get 270.
Okay, well, you know, it's not bad. Okay, so you get the cash anyway. So look, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's an interesting card. I think there is potential for a high scoring card, which generally does not suit me well. I tend to do better on the lower scoring cards, but I will now turn it over to my esteemed co-host, the real Chris Olsen.
Except no substitutes. I like this card a lot. This is as good a main card, I think, as we could have hoped for this pay-per-view. I was recounting the other day, because I have to send in my picks, and I kept thinking that Brunson
Cannonier
was the co-main, but no, we actually have a very good co-main in itself in Lewis and Tuivasa.
I have a hot take for that fight. I can't wait.
I'm sure you do. I could probably guess it, but I won't steal your thunder.
I want you to guess when we get there. I'm gonna tee this up again.
Okay. I think I might be along the same lines as you, but I didn't go with it. But if I'm correct, but yeah, I like this card quite a bit. A lot of good spots. A lot of good just plain viewing if you're a fan and ready to break it down. So let's get to it.
Before we do that, though, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Also, subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and on iTunes. And I'm assuming other podcast platforms, but I'm an Apple guy. So wherever you listen to podcasts and YouTube, RotoWire MMA, make sure and check that out. I think now we are ready to break down some fights. Maxime Grishin, he's a favorite. He's 8,700, taking on William, man, I love cheeseburgers and or my knee is hurt, William Knight. I have to say, this is, Knight could be injured too, or Knight needs a knockout just to make his show money at this point. Yeah. 40% of his purse going over because, if you couldn't tell by the intro, he missed weight by a UFC record 12 pounds. This fight is now at heavyweight. Grishin, minus 165. The comeback on Knight, plus 145. You know what? I'm going to let you guys take this fight first because what I wanted to lead in with, and it popped up, and that's why I saw it. I meant to, before I went into the intro, I just saw this tweet from Aaron Bronstetter. We have a change to the UFC booth for commentary. Joe Ooh. Rogan has a scheduling conflict.
Ooh.
So, I mean, we won't get all political, but, you know, Joe Rogan is – he's facing cancel culture head on. Either way, not on there. And we get Anik Cormier and Bisping.
All right. I'm good with but that. I always thought Joe Rogan was now a little bit beyond his time. So I love Anik. Anik is my – I like Anik, Felder, and Cormier. Anik, Felder, and Cormier is my favorite.
You stole my thunder. I was going to quickly ask you, if it's not Rogan there, you know it's DC for a pay-per-view. Who would you put in for the third spot?
I like
spot?
Felder a bit more than Bisping.
Joe says Felder. Chris?
I'm going to make it unanimous. I like Paul Felder a lot.
Well, you don't know my answer.
Well, okay, go ahead.
No, you're right. It's unanimous. I am a Paul Felder guy as well. Yeah. He does a really good job. Anyway,
I love Felder.
I wanted to throw out. So, kicking back, kind of spin the wheels back again. You know what, Chris? We'll start with you. Grishin or Big Fat Willie Knight?
I'm going with Grishin. I've been waiting patiently for William Knight to get knocked out in the UFC. It hasn't happened yet. I think it's going to happen here. I thought that before the horrendous weight miss. I just don't like anything about the way this guy stands up. First of all, he's very short and has no reach for the division. This is going to be on the longer side. I think Grishin is 5 inches of reach, or I'm sorry, 5 inches of height, 4 inches of reach. And, you know, he tries to make up for that with his judo. He tried that with Dawun Jung. Dawun Jung was just way stronger than him and just manhandled him. I think Grishin is gonna do that, as you said, a former heavyweight. And I just hate the way he stands up. He pulls his head straight back. He's got nothing in the way of defense. And if he can't get Grishin down, and I don't think he'll be able to, I think Grishin's gonna knock him out. So I like this fight before. I think, unfortunately, more people might be on Grishin because of the attention paid to the big weight miss. I think he's going to score really well. I mean, it could be a situation, because it's not like we haven't seen Grishin grapple, so it could be a situation like Dawun Jung. Dawun Jung had, as far as I could tell, had no intention of grappling in that fight. William Knight tried a couple times, and then Jung just realized, hey, I could reverse this guy all day, and that's what he did the entire fight. So I don't really see any way Knight wins this fight. He's got a big power, basically. He's got to get inside on the much taller, much longer fighter who's going to be way stronger as well. I just don't like anything about it for him. I am strong on Maxime Grishin.
Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so Knight did take this fight on a little bit short notice. So, again, I'd much rather – I said this before, and I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but if I've got a guy missing weight, I want him missing weight by 12 pounds and not one. It doesn't look like he probably drained himself. Now, the injury, if he is injured, that is a concern that I don't know how to play. You know, we saw the rumors about Ngannou being injured, and he truly was injured, but still ended up winning that fight by you know, deploying his wrestling. I don't know that that avenue is open to William Knight, although I have noticed that he has been taking some grappling bouts and doing quite well in his grappling bouts. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if the narrative is going to help him here. You know, Grishin, look, he's 37 years old, right? He's underperformed in the UFC. He had a really nice run in PFL, underperformed in the UFC. There's just so much that I like at the higher end of, you know, of this slate that I don't know that I could give all that much love to Grishin on DraftKings, but if you're asking for me to pick a winner to the fight, I'll pick Grishin.
I should have done this in reverse order. I should have went Joe first and then Chris, because Chris had a much stronger take. Give me Big Fat Willie Nelson. I mean, Knight.
Big Fat Willie Nelson.
So, and it's kind of what Joe said. It's not that it's a super strong take. I do think Grishin is a bit overrated, and Knight has that big power. Now, I got to say, I felt much better about this pick before the 12-pound weight miss and whatever the hell else is going on. It kind of comes down to, I think Knight is much more liable to break the slate with a knockout. Like, you can hit, he was in a war, who was it? It was Grishin and Jacoby, right? Another fight? Like,
yeah.
I've seen Grishin get hit enough where, and I know Knight has power, that at 7,500, I'm taking, don't play Willie Knight and Cat.
He's got to get inside first. How's he getting inside?
I mean, Grishin's got to come forward and hit him. You're probably right. That is going to be a challenge, but Willie Knight, for what it's worth, Willie Knight's 3-1 in the UFC, and Maxime Grishin is 1-2. Or, I mean, take that for what it's worth. I'll take the X factor of the power. Now, X knows, probably Maxime Grishin is probably the rightful favorite. But in terms of who's more likely to break the slate, like I said earlier, I think Willie Knight's your more likely person on the optimal lineup, and don't touch this fight for cash. And Non, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I needed to post Non's wrong opinion here. Even the wrong.
Unless, here's the problem. You might get bailed out because I don't know how bad this Willie Knight injury is. Yeah, Ryan, it could be a terrible fight. The good news is it's first. All right, we got 14 fights to cover. Let's go to the next one. Jeremiah Wells at 9,100 taking on some guy named Blood Diamond at 7,100. I say some guy named Blood Diamond. First, let me do the odds. UFC stats. They even call him Blood Diamond on UFC. Some places it's Blood Diamond. Some places it's his other freaking name. Where is Jeremiah Wells? Yeah, Mike Mathetha. I sound like I have a stutter. Mathetha. Wells -240. Blood Diamond +190. I say some guy named Blood Diamond because I was talking to my guy Newsom. Just earlier, and I admitted to him, this is the one fight, you know, they have a new AI over there, that I was like, I kind of skimped the research on this fight. I don't know who the hell Blood Diamond is. I trusted the AI. And he goes, yeah, because the best footage you can find on him is a minute and 17 highlight. Minute and 17 second highlight on YouTube. Apparently you just can't find footage in this guy. And it's kind of concerning because the fight doesn't go to decision line. It's -550. So you probably need to play this fight. It's really upsetting. I'll play both guys in GPP, and the guy who I've seen at least fight, you know, more than trash cans will get my pick. I'm going Jeremiah Wells. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so you're going to hear this term several times from me, so I might as well get it out of the way. Peripheral fighter. So we have on this slate several peripheral fighters, and they're peripheral in the sense that they are training partners of the fighters who are fighting in the main event. Blood Diamond is a peripheral fighter in the Izzy Adesanya camp. You know, did some kickboxing with...
Wait, he's from New Zealand?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a name he's, like Izzy's... Blood Diamond, how are you not...
He's not from South Africa.
I mean, your name, no. You got to have Leonardo DiCaprio walk you out. You got to say brew for 15 minutes. So that's what you got to do.
No. He's a training partner. He's at City. He's a training partner of Izzy. You know, wild fighter. But, like, here's the thing. He only really fought at the highest level of kickboxing in one fight, which he lost. So we're not, like, he's not, like, this super acclaimed kickboxer, right, that's coming to the UFC. He is a training partner of Israel Adesanya. There's another one that's going to be coming up on this slate. There's also
Tajik says originally from Zimbabwe, and no, it's Rhodesia. Did you watch Blood Diamond? That's what Zimbabwe was years ago.
Okay, so you're throwing me off here. So there is another one. There's another peripheral fighter who's fighting who's part of Izzy's camp, and then there's one that's also the jiu-jitsu coach at Whitaker's camp. So look, this is going to be a wild fight. You do need to have shares of it. I happen to like Wells in this fight. I like him a good deal. This is a GPP fight. You should probably have a few shares of the Blood Diamond, but I really do like Wells and GPPs. I think he should be able to, you know, to dominate this fight. Again, it's hard to say. Like, I've heard commentary on how Blood Diamond is more technical. How the F do you know? Like, how did you pull that out of 1 minute and 15 seconds worth of footage? I don't think so. So anyway, give me Wells here. I like him quite a bit. I do think it's a GPP play, but you do need exposure to this fight just based on the inside distance line alone. So give me Wells.
Chris, who you got?
So it looks as if I have a bit of inside information here. His fight on EMMA 50 actually is on Fight Pass, and that's a pro tip, I guess, for some of you. If you can't find a fight, type in the name of the event, and sometimes you'll find it that way. So I was able to find that fight of his that went to the decision. He can get a little wild. He is very tricky on the counter, which could be bad news for somebody like Wells, who just charges in there. He did get really tired in the second and third round, which you can it's to be expected if a guy's fighting a kickboxing, rounds that are shorter. I think I'm going to bet on Wells to ground him out before getting caught, because I think Wells can be a little unstructured, a little wild. And against the wild guy, you don't want to be wild with him. I would rather you be, structurally sound. And that doesn't strike me as what Blood Diamond is. So I fully think that he can walk Wells onto a big shot, as Wells is lunging to close the distance. But I think he's only got to run him around for two or three minutes to get him tired at the rate that Wells fights. So it's a fight that's interesting. I think it is a fight that doesn't go the distance either way, but I'm gonna go a 60-40, maybe a 65-35 on Jeremiah Wells here to get it done.
All right, next fight up, we have Sergey Morozov, 9,000, taking on Douglas Silva de Andrade, the king of the king of steroids.
Yeah,
Morozov minus 220, Silva de Andrade plus 180. I don't really like Douglas Silva de Andrade. He's tough. I think Morozov, though, better everywhere. I actually think Morozov is going to finish him. So give me Morozov in this spot. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think, Douglas Silva de Andrade, explosive, hits hard, not really a finisher. Finished the last fight because he had an inexperienced fighter at a high level who just threw a blind kick and got caught. Morozov can go to a wrestle heavy attack. That's not actually where he gets all his finishes. He's actually pretty heavy-handed. He is a good judge of distance to step back and counter, which I think can come in handy here as this Douglas Silva de Andrade steps in. Otherwise, I think you're just going to get him tired with the wrestling and maybe get a late second, early third round finish, because when De Silva gets – De Andrade gets tired, he's one of these guys that just gives out. And so unless he catches Morozov early, I think he's on his way to a finish with probably a lot of points. So I'm taking Morozov to go over 100.
Joe.
Yeah, I see it the other way. Not in terms of who wins or who loses, but how the fight ends. I think Andrade is pretty tough. I mean, if you look at who he's lost to, Jan Font. I mean, the creme de la creme. Granted, he's a 37-year-old bantamweight, which is not a good look. But you'd have to think Morozov has underperformed a bit in the UFC. There's no shame in losing to Nurmagomedov, who's 13-0, a real killer. I think he's fighting. Is he fighting next week he's fighting at the next pay-per-view, I think. He got the job done against Taha, but, it was a decision. I think that was pretty close to an even fight, but this guy was a killer in M1, and we haven't really seen that yet. Maybe this is his breakout performance. I think this is a good matchup for him. He's a rightful favorite, but I think Andrade is tough. I would be surprised if this fight finishes. I see it as going to decision. I see Morozov getting the victory. But with so much else I like, at the higher levels, I don't think I'm going to get much of him. And I, you know, maybe you could also look at Andrade as having a decent floor, because if you think he's going to win by decision, I mean, I'm sorry, if you think he's going to lose by decision, maybe he gets some points, maybe kind of grinds out a decision. Who knows? I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's, he's a big, big underdog in this fight. So I will take the favorite, but I like this fight to go to decision.
All right, next fight up, we have AJ Dobson taking on Jacob Malkoon. Dobson's 8,200. Malkoon is 8,000. Line on this fight at the moment, Dobson minus 115, Malkoon minus 105. And this is a fight that is going to make or break my night, personally, because I just don't see how Malkoon gets this done unless Dobson is just a total fraud. Look, Malkoon won because he took down Abdulrazak Halasan a bunch. I just, you got to be drilling takedown defense, right? And then you just punch this guy in the face once and he's going to die. That's what I think is going to happen here. But I'm risking a lot of GPP shares on, you know, a guy who is not very experienced. So it's a little terrifying for that reason. AJ Dobson, by the way, I want to pull up his record and I totally just lost it.
I think it's like 6-0 or 6-1 or something
like
that.
Yeah, he's got a rear naked choke win on the Contender Series, making his UFC debut. 6-0 with one no contest. So, I mean, I think he's better everywhere. I mean, that's how I see this fight. It's one of those, I'm surprised to pick him. I do have a bet on this fight. I think there's value here. Give me Dobson and start praying to whatever God I believe in, because it's going to get real. This is as I've been doing this here. This is an odd number fight. So Joe, you're first.
Yeah. So this is another peripheral fighter. This is the jiu-jitsu coach for Robert Whittaker's gym.
He's on Contender Series though.
What?
He's on the Contender Series. He's not like Blood Diamond. He's a real.
I'm talking about Malkoon is the peripheral fight.
That's how he got in. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So Malkoon, you know, look, there is a path to victory for him, right? If he could immediately get, I do not think that Dobson is better everywhere. I think there's a distinct advantage in jiu-jitsu for Malkoon. And he showed he's got a good jiu-jitsu game and he's kind of tough. But I, you know, Dobson's crazy. He's a wild striker. I really do think that this is, if you're betting, that this could be a really cool fight to bet live, because if Malkoon gets through the first round, I really do see odds and momentum shifting over to Malkoon. You know, just because, again, there is a path to victory. Now, of all the peripheral fighters on this slate, and there's one more, I probably favor Malkoon the most, which is going to surprise a lot of people considering there's a favorite coming up later. But I'm going to go with Sean on Dobson. But I do see a path to victory for Malkoon, and that's why I'm going to have shares of him. And we've seen what he can do with ground control time and some takedowns. He could put up some points. So I'm going to also look to maybe bet this fight live. You know, Malkoon could get through the first round. And if we see, Dobson noticeably slowing down, there could be an opportunity to bet Malkoon in round two. But I'll take Dobson for the win.
Sean, did you freeze?
Okay, no, Sean froze. You're good.
Sean froze. I was waiting for but. And then I was going to ask you to do the honors. Can you do the honors? You got to throw it to me. I can't go until somebody throws it to me.
How does that work?
Oh, never mind. I just wanted you to say, Chris, what's your pick? But I'll go. Don't worry.
Go.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go.
I understand that everybody's still going to have the Hawes fight in their heads, but I feel like Malkoon already won this fight. You have a big, powerful, athletic striker who throws wild, and Malkoon just ducked under all of his big right hands and got reactive takedowns. He can do the same thing here. I would say Dobson is even more wild than Abdul Al-Razak Al-Hassan is. by a wide margin, actually. I think that, yeah, that's true, Ryan. He is deep in thought. But I think that, you know, this is the binary fight that we always talk about. Either he's going to get knocked out or he's going to win a big point scoring decision with takedowns. And I really do think it's the latter. You know, even in that Razak fight, he rolled a lot of shots, a lot more defensively sound than I think that he was in the fight with Phil Hawes. It was his debut. I believe it was short notice, although somebody could check that. I think he's a better fighter than what he showed. He did have trouble keeping Razak on the ground. He had the rinse and repeat takedowns, which can be good for us, although anytime Dobson is on his feet, it's in trouble. But Dobson is really a very sloppy, very powerful striker. And I think that if Malkoon can see the shots coming, he's going to get those rinse and repeat takedowns. So I'm taking Malkoon. It's a shame that Sean is not here, because I would really love to push back on him a little bit and see what he has to say about me picking the other side that he's so sure on. In fact, I think we both did, right, Joe? You ended up taking Dobson in the end, right? Oh, no, we didn't lose Joe, too, did we? Oh, Joe, you're muted. I'm sorry.
No, but, I'm here. Yeah, no, I'm muted. Yeah, yeah. I took Dobson.
Yeah.
So yeah, Sean, with that third-rate internet service that he has out there in Long Island.
I know.
Dude, like get New Jersey internet. Come on.
Well, in any event, I will take my rightful place. Oh, I don't want to let him in. I was just about to say I was going to take my rightful place at the throne.
Let's let him in, man. Let's let him in.
Hey, you kicked me out.
What is it, that third-rate internet in the house out there on Long Island, dude? No. What do you got? What do you got, like baud rate out there? What's going on?
Oh, no, he's gone again.
He's gone again. I'm telling you, man. Nothing good comes from Long Island.
I'm going to tap the screen. I'm tapping the screen. No, it didn't work. Okay. So
you and I carry this.
Yep, we'll carry. When Sean gets back, we'll throw it back to him. For now, I will take control of the hosting duty. So
go for it.
If I don't like something Joe says, I will rule with an iron fist.
And, I figured that as much.
Yeah, that will be the end of it. So the next fight up will be Ronnie Lawrence at 9,300 taking on a good job I'm doing. What? Are you back?
No, not really.
Oh, no.
He's still frozen in place with his Snoopy shirt on.
There he is.
Dude.
Sean, you want to restart your computer? Restart your computer. Maybe that'll help.
What kind of Wi-Fi you got out there, man? You got like, what is going on,
John?
What are you like? Got to pull? You got to like unplug your phone and plug it into your computer? What's happening,
Sean,
man?
Sean just wants to show us all his funny faces today. That's what I think.
Wow, I mean that's a nice chair you got with the DraftKings pillow in the back. But like, come on,
yeah, that is.
Let's
that
go.
Is
I haven't eaten yet, and we're only like three fights in, and it's 8:30. So we got to pick it up.
So I will take Joe getting very demanding. Okay,
well,
so
what happens when I haven't eaten and it's 8:30 on a Friday night? I mean, come on.
I hear you. So okay, so Ronnie Lawrence 9,300 taking on Manna Martinez at 6,900. The comeback on this fight betting wise is Ronnie Lawrence the big favorite -300, Martinez +230, and I think this is, as the line suggests, I don't think there's a whole lot to it. I think that Martinez is a good pressuring fighter, but waits a little too long on the counter. I think he's going to give Martinez a good many opportunities to grapple, lots of bites at that apple. And look, we have to understand that his bout with Guido Canetti, Martinez's, that is, you know, Canetti out-grappled him in some spots, reversed him a couple of times. So I really don't like this here, and I don't think Martinez is active enough to go and chase that finish. Lawrence has looked hittable at times. Martinez does have power. There's an angle there. But for me, I'm going to go with the chalk here. I'm taking Martinez to get his rinse and repeat takedowns and put up a big score. What do you think about this one, Joe?
Yeah, this is there's not much to say about this. This is a bad matchup for Martinez. And all I can say is, you know, I hope he's got an ass pad for when he's done with this fight, because he is going to hit the canvas so many times. You know, and that's assuming he even gets up. So you got to like Lawrence here. You especially got to like him in cash. You know, we know what he can do. We know the kind of game he has. I would probably be surprised by Lawrence losing in this fight more than any other on the slate. You know, I think he's going to be pretty popular and highly owned, and that's on a slate where there are a lot of compelling options at the upper range. But I do like Lawrence a lot here.
All right. And just received a text from Sean. He showed me his blue update screen, and it was only at 7%. So it seems as though we have a little while to go before we welcome Sean back. So you will get to hear my beautiful voice more than I'm sure you anticipated, and maybe than you would like, but so be it. As we move on to the next fight, which is Carlos Olberg at 8,900 taking on Fabio Charrant at 7,300. Betting on this fight, Olberg is a big favorite at minus 250. Charrant could be had at plus 200. This is an interesting fight to me just because I don't know how much we can trust Carlos Olberg. He's a good striker, a slick striker. He got very tired trying to finish Kennedy and Chikwui in the first round. And basically that led to his defeat, led to a very bad knockout. I wonder if that'll get in his head. I wonder if he tries to pace himself. These are all questions. I don't think Fabio Charrant is as bad as his UFC record indicates. Three losses, three finishes, I believe. He had that weird Von Flue choke finish in his debut against Menafield. Then he took a big counter shot against Joe's boy, Fat Willie Nelson, as he called him, William Knight. So that was that one. But I think Charrant is a little better than what he's shown so far. I think he's a decent grappler. He's a good pressuring boxer. And I just don't trust Olberg all that much. I think he's a bit of a headhunter. I think Charrant is going to see those shots coming. I think with a gun to my head, I'm still going to pick Olberg here. But look, if he can't get him out of there in that first round again, we have to wonder what's coming next. And as I said, I do think Charrant is built a little better than he's shown lately. So taking Olberg, but we'll definitely have my shares of Charrant. Joe, what do you think about this one?
Wow. I don't know what makes me more nervous, agreeing with Chris or disagreeing with my good friend Brett Apley of Daily Fan MMA. For those of you that might not know, Brett Apley, in his Mayo Media Network mini pod, gave out Olberg as his tournament play of the week. I could not disagree more. I am going to no longer refer to Olberg as Olberg. I'm going to refer to him as the Bachelor, because he is actually the Bachelor New Zealand. He is so good looking. He almost made Laura Sanko forget she was married momentarily. He was an Australian New Zealand regional scene kickboxer, never fought at a high level. Yes, I get Brett Apley's argument is that he threw 146 strikes, significant strikes, including 85 in one round, which is impressive. I get it. I don't disagree. Charrant has shown nothing in the UFC. A whopping, 2.0 significant strikes per minute. However, I got a gut feeling. I'm with Chris here. I like this fight for GPPs. I will have a few shares of The Bachelor, but I like Charrant more. And at his price point, he could potentially break the slate if he gets the finish. So I think this is a fight that, you know, look, if you like The Bachelor, target him. But you should probably have some shares of this fight. I just have a feeling about the underdog here. And obviously, if he loses, he's gone. So he knows he's fighting for a pink slip, where Olberg is probably going to be a peripheral fighter on all upcoming Izzy cards. This is the third peripheral fighter on this card. City kickboxing guy, like I said, the Bachelor New Zealand. He's got other things going on. So I'm with Chris here. That makes me very, very nervous.
Yeah, Joe's gut is doing strange things to him. Get some. Get some
it could be hunger, but you know, I'm agreeing with you.
Get some food in this man. But no, I agree with most of what you said, and I just think, you know, at the price point, he's worth a shot. I mean, Olberg is certainly a loose cannon, so you know, we'll see how that turns out. All right, next fight, I don't think we'll be giving too much love to the dog, but we shall see. It's Kyler Phillips at 9,400. Taking on Marcelo Rojo at 6,800. The lines on this fight. Oh, and Sean just popped back in. Let's see where he's at. Sean, how we doing?
I hate you, mother bleeping Optimum. Lick my. I pay for the highest plan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How many baud rate is that?
I don't even know. It's $7,000 a month. And that's
do you have to unplug your phone like when you use your computer for internet or
this, no, we have like, the problem is we're I'm in a big
T1 lines.
Yes, I do have a T1 line, but I do have a two-family house, and there's got to be four TVs going, my computer is everybody's phones. Anyway, sorry everyone. I guess I should probably bring up. Oh, you know what? I didn't know how though. I don't have any of the fights up because I restarted everything. I'm so concerned about getting back on. So, which fights did you guys just finish up?
We just did Olberg and Chiron. What's your take on that one?
Olberg by murder.
Okay, me and Joe both disagree with you. So we
wait. You both took wait. For real, you're both on Fabio Chiron.
Well, I don't think I didn't pick Chiron, but I view him as a very live dog. Just because
it's a fade on the Bachelor New Zealand.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which he is the Bachelor New Zealand, by the way.
I'm pretty sure you guys can knock out Fabio.
Who's never fought at a high level in kickboxing, Australian regional scene. Chiron is no great guns, but like I don't think you have to be. To beat Olberg, yes, he's got high volume and high output, and you know, I hate disagreeing with Brett Apley, which I said on the Brett Apley has named Chiron. I'm not Chiron, Olberg. I'm sorry, I'm calling him the Bachelor. Has named the Bachelor as his tournament play of the week, but Chris and I both like the fade, so we're picking Chiron.
Well, I'm with Brett on that one.
Good luck.
Did I miss one before that?
No, we got them all. We got
no. I miss Ronnie Lawrence and Mana Martinez.
Yeah, guy. Well, there's not a lot to say about that. I can't imagine you're.
Yeah. Ronnie Lawrence. All right.
Ronnie Lawrence.
Thanks, everyone, for dealing with the issues here. Kyler Phillips, The Matrix, 9,400, taking on Marcelo Rojo at 6,800. Another fight. I don't think there's a ton to say about it here. Give me Kyler Phillips. Chris.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I won't give you two heart attacks in the span of three fights. But, yeah, give me Kyler Phillips. I don't think a lot of Rojo. I think, you know, the announcers were loving that Jordan fight because he was aggressive. But he was getting tagged on the counter really, really big time just because he always walked in on straight lines. And, you know, Phillips going to be faster. He's going to be more well-rounded. I just think he's going to tag up Rojo. Rojo might get a couple of nice shots in. Unless Phillips pulls another thing where, you know, Rojo is secretly the Terminator and he can't get him out of there again and gasses himself out, then it might be close. But otherwise, I think Kyler Phillips is going to win this walking away with the only decision being, will he score enough? I think he will, but I think he's more of a cash play, especially with some fights we have coming up and some of the ones we have already discussed. But my pick is Kyler Phillips.
Joe.
Yeah, Kyler Phillips. He probably has the best matchup of any of the upper tier fighters, and that includes Izzy. You know, I like Phillips here again. I don't know if he's going to outscore Ronnie Lawrence, so that's something you know you may need to make a decision about, especially in cash. But yeah, give me Kyler Phillips.
Thank you for the quick breakdown, dear Lord. Casey O'Neill, 9,500, taking a Roxanne Modafari at 6,700. This should be a quick breakdown, other than to say. Congrats on the long career, Roxanne Modafari, you know, pioneer of women's MMA. And that should be the extent of the breakdown of this one, really. O'Neill's minus 400, and there might be some value on that. I don't see how Roxy gets this one done unless Casey O'Neill falls into an armbar. But I think I've been riding on the O'Neill money train since she's been in the UFC. Thought she's been undervalued. Has had a couple of really good performances. Scores well on DraftKings. Give me O'Neill here, Joe.
Joe, you're muted.
Yep, I know. Sorry, guys. Right. I was very impressed that Sean was tied for first in the 555 ticket. Okay, so look, I Casey O'Neill is young. I was on Casey O'Neill from jump. As a matter of fact, I gave her out behind the paywall as a parlay, a guaranteed 10-1 parlay with two other female fighters who were fighting on the same card. I did a lot of research on Casey. Her father was a kickboxing champion and a promoter, in Australia, 24 years old, not overly hard in the eyes, type of fighter. Yeah. Well, shout out to Roxy. If Roxy had an iota of athleticism, she, who knows how far she could have gone. My only concern here is that, Roxy's going to come out with her glasses on and knee pads, take her glasses off, look like she can't see. And my only fear is that if O'Neill gets really aggressive and falls into something, she might not be able to get out of. We've seen Roxy do that. Although, generally speaking, I don't think the UFC is setting O'Neill up to lose here. I believe Roxanne just got married. I believe that's the case as well.
Yep, that is correct.
So yeah, give me King Casey here. I don't know if you're going to see the telephone number score that she's had in her last few fights, but I do like her here. It's just how to use her and what percentages I'm going to have in GPPs that I need to concern myself about. But I'm certainly going to take King Casey here.
Not King Kevin Casey. King. That would be bad. Who you got, Chris?
And by the way, two kings on this card, one coming up, which is interesting. But I have none of Joe's concerns. I think that, Roxy has had the same problem throughout her career. She's just not strong enough to deal with the stronger grapplers in this division. She always gets stuck to the floor. She's going to get stuck to the floor here. I don't think she's good enough on bottom to work a sub game. She hasn't been recently. I don't think that's going to change here. There's always this hope Roxy with her jiu-jitsu. I think her sub attempt in the UFC is like 0.2 for 15 or 0.4 for. I mean, she doesn't even really try all that much. Where if she does, they're not very. They don't even register as submission attempts. So that should tell you something. I have no issue here. I think, this might be a little more cashy. I still think, 105 to 110 is well within the purview there. And that'll probably work, maybe. So I like Casey here. I don't think Roxy's going to have anything for her. The same thing, the janky boxing and the strength advantage that doesn't measure up. So bon voyage, Roxy. Enjoy retirement, but I think you're going to go out with a whimper on this one. I'm taking Casey O'Neill.
Andre Arlovsky, 8,300. Jared Vandera, 7,900. Arlovsky, -140. Vandera, +120. Funny, my quick breakdown on this fight. Arlovsky, I think, probably wins a boring bleep decision. But if you're going to tell me pick one guy to play in GPP, I'm playing Vandera because he's got more volume. Maybe he catches Arlovsky. Arlovsky's chin could finally fall off. Maybe Arlovsky probably wins. But if anyone's going to break the slate in this fight, it'll be Vandera. Chris.
Yeah, I like Vandera a little bit, just for the reason you mentioned, just as the dog play. I mean, Arlovsky never scores well. Could this be the once every 5 years Arlovsky decides to wrestle? Because he sees that Vandera has had such a hard time with it. That could be. But even then, he doesn't have the ground and pound. He just sort of likes to lay in guard. I think he got four takedowns against Struve and a couple against Marcin Tybura, I think it was. But I can't rely on him to do that. My one thing on the feet is Arlovsky's still pretty fast for heavyweight. He could be faster than Vandera. But if that doesn't play, I think the volume will. I expect him to outwork him for three rounds, and that could be a pretty decent score at his price. So I'm taking Vander.
Joe.
Yeah, I don't really care all that much about this fight. I expect to be pretty much under-owned across the board for both fighters. However, Andre gassed really badly in his last fight. I mean, really, like, on the looked like he was on the verge of fainting. He was so gassed. And I have Vander as having better cardio. So, you know, maybe he wins a round and a half and Sal D'Amato is judging and gives him the round and he wins two rounds to one. I don't know. So I'll pick the dog here. It's not a fight I want a lot of. I'd be very shocked if either one of these fighters were optimal. And for that reason, maybe there's some leverage, but I don't see how you're going to get it. I don't see Arlo getting a quick knockout. I don't see a quick knockout coming the other way. I don't see grappling points. I see low volume striking. And when you get a heavyweight fight that's favored to go the distance, it's generally one that you want to avoid. So, you know, play it at your own risk. I'll take the dog.
Bobby Green, 8,400, taking on Nasrat Haqparast at 7,800. Line on this fight, Bobby Green minus 145, comeback on Haqparast plus 125. And I've been telling everybody, you know, baby Kelvin is a fraud. And Dan Hooker made me look very smart. Drew Doberth made me look very smart. Look, anytime this guy faces anybody legit, he's going to lose. Just my opinion on him. And I think Bobby Green is good enough to beat Nasrat Haqparast. I think he's more volume. I think he's a better striker. Bobby Green can wrestle, what you showed last time out, surprisingly well. Like, Bobby Green is, and he's fun. I mean, that should X's and O's breakdown, but I like Bobby Green. So give me Bobby Green here, 8,400. Interesting potential cash game play, because I don't see Nasrat finishing Bobby Green. So, I mean, it feels like a pretty safe floor here. I like Bobby Green. Joe.
Wow, thanks for burying my lead there. I like Green as a cash game play as well. I was a slow party to become a Bobby Green truther, but I love the way he fought Fiziev. I mean, he took that last round from him. I think he is fairly solid in cash in his losses. I think he has like a 50-point floor. I don't hate the price at 8.4K. So I think Green is a sneaky little play. The problem with playing Green in cash is that a lot of people, I fear, are going to go stars and scrubs. And this is a very difficult cash week, by the way. It's a much easier week to spread and play GPPs. But that's the issue. Like, so it might be hard. Lineup construction might be difficult, with Bobby Green.
I have a hell of a 2v2 for cash. We'll talk about it after the main event.
Okay.
But I have flip-flopped six times already. I don't know where my cash lineup is going to land. It is hard to build.
It is. It's really difficult for cash builds because, again, a lot of people are going to be looking at stars and scrubs and maybe, you know, playing the dog side of the main event in cash. I like Bobby Green here. I like his floor. I think he could have a decent ceiling at 8.4K. I just think he's a solid all-around fighter. And I like him in this spot.
All right. Let's talk about Hanato Moicano. 8,500.
No,
I don't want to hear you take Nasrat. So let's just move on.
I would not.
No, you're not.
Chris
I know.
Is not going to pick Nasrat.
I know. You know what's messed up, Joe? What's really terrifying to me is you look on the pick predictions, and me and Chris picked the main card exactly the same. The world is ending. I'm gonna die soon. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just a really funny side note before Chris makes his pick. So I like to always put nicknames or codes when I do the picks, and I do it mainly to frustrate Jake to see if he can figure it out. So for this fight, I put yellow and blue. And Jake's like, I don't know what you mean. I'm like, Jake, yellow and blue. I'm like, come on, dude. I mean, I know you're a byproduct of a Midwest education, but they do tell you in the Midwest that when you mix yellow and blue, what color do you get?
Ah, see, I didn't follow that either.
Green.
There you go.
So, like, I put yellow and blue.
I didn't get all the way there.
Dude, what the hell, Sean? Come on. You're the byproduct of an East Coast education. You should know this.
I give allowances
for people educated in the Midwest, but not.
My brain didn't go to color mixing. I mess with Jake. I send him all kinds of emojis.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, but like he figured everything else out, but he could not get, you know, yellow and blue. So anyway.
I bet you he's looking up flags from where Hockfrost is from. No, Germany's not that shit.
No.
Well, while Joe takes a spin on the color wheel, I will say that I think this is another really good spot for Bobby Green. Coming off his first knockout in almost 9 years, I think this is basically a tailor-made fight for him. Hockfrost is a guy who likes to explode into the pocket with big looping shots, and Bobby Green is one of the best defensive fighters in the division and, I would argue, one of the best counter-strikers in the division. So really a tailor-made spot for him. We saw what Drew Dober did with one punch when he threw a naked leg kick. Drew Dober obviously a lot more power than Bobby Green, but I really think there are going to be openings for him here. I'm not calling for a finish, at least not in this segment, hint, hint, hint. But I do think this is a good spot for Green. I would play him in a lot of different spots. You know his volume is going to be there. You know that the Hockfrost is going to make him throw. And I think he's going to come out on top of a lot of these exchanges. I just think he's the better fighter. Not Hockfrost is a headhunter. He likes to surprise guys with his power and his speed. He's not going to surprise Bobby Green with either one of those things. I love this spot for Bobby. And this is a big fight for him. This is main card on a pay-per-view against a high-octane, exciting fighter. If he wins this fight, who knows what the next fight is. So exciting spot for him as a fan of his. Good spot for him also as a DFS play. I am all in on Bobby Green.
All right, now it's Hakpara. Now it's Moicano, 8,500. Yeah. Taking on big old crybaby Alexander Hernandez, 7,700. Who got his wish? They're on the main card now. Moicano -160, Hernandez +140. Hey, Alexander Hernandez, you want to know why you weren't on the main card initially? Secret. You're not an exciting fighter. Go, like, if you need a cure for the will to live, just go watch the fight again with him and Masa Randuba. Just go watch it. You'll instantly lose the will to live. Like, Alexander Hernandez. Yeah, he knocked out Beneil Dariush quickly. Yeah, Beneil Dariush makes fights exciting. Alexander Hernandez, you're NyQuil. That's why you're not in the main card. You're not in the top 15 anymore. God, it irritated me. It irritated the shit out of me. And you know what? I think Moicano's going to make him pay and put him to sleep. Moicano by submission in round two. Joe, who you got? I don't know. Chris, who you got?
Well, I think you're a little hard on the boy there. It is funny that
he's not exciting.
He won. Well, I mean, he has been. Look, he's exciting since he got knocked out. Since Donald Cerrone taught him that lesson there, he's only beaten nobodies, right? Every time he steps up, he gets beaten back. But, Renato Moicano, coming off three knockouts in his previous four fights, turned into a panic wrestler against Jai Herbert. I don't know if that this is going to be his career now, but that's what happened. He needed the fight on the ground. I think he himself is scared to stand now. When he did fight, stand with Jai, he got cracked a couple of times in that fight, and that fight wasn't on the feet for very long. And I think Alexander Hernandez, fast, powerful, also has never really been out-grappled in the UFC, never fought anybody like Renato Moicano, but also never been subbed in his career. If this fight can't stay on the floor, I think that's very bad news for our friend Moicano. I don't know what his career looks like now. He never fought like that before with the urgency and the takedowns. Great for DraftKings, but that was never the way he fought. He was always the kickboxer who, if it went to the floor, you were in trouble. He never tried to get it there with that urgency. That should make you nervous. It makes me interested in Hernandez. I'm taking him here. I think he's going to, if not keep it on the feet, keep himself safe until he can stand back up and put hands on the boys. So I'm taking Alex Hernandez.
Joe.
God, what a bad pick. Moicano, I thought I was going to be.
Wait, I thought you picked Moicano.
No, I did pick Moicano.
No, no.
I mean, Chris, I thought Chris said he picked Hernandez.
No. Sean was staring at his phone.
I thought I swore I heard. Didn't you not?
He said. You just said you picked Hernandez.
You said you picked Hernandez. What are you listening to there?
But we were on the same picks. Did you change your pick?
You picked Hernandez. You just picked Hernandez.
Yes. I have to go check. But if I did, I'm switching to Hernandez. But if I did, I didn't.
Okay. So you picked Hernandez. I'm saying that's a bad pick because I'm with Sean. I thought I was going to be giving a hot take when I said that Moicano gets the finish.
Yeah, and Chris, you need to check your RotoWire picks.
Yeah, Hernandez is a...
I'm sorry, that was my mistake. I have to change it. Go ahead.
Yeah, Hernandez is a Texas judge away from being 2-4 in the UFC. and, you know, kind of lost to the ghost of Donald Cerrone. So, in any case, I like Moicano here. I think he gets the finish.
Well, Probably second or third round. I'm still waiting to hear... what I said doesn't make sense, but that's okay. We can go past it.
Yeah, what you said is that Alexander Hernandez has even a modicum of talent against a good fighter. That's what doesn't make sense to me.
Well, what I said is that Moicano's chin is a Ford Pinto at this point in his career.
It's obviously true.
It's obviously true.
Moving on. I have some food. Listen. My tummy is a rumbling.
I haven't eaten either, so I'm starving, man. Jared's the only one who ate.
For you guys, it's
he's going to wear us down because he's the only one who ate.
Jared Cannonier, 8,600, taking on. It's not Derek Brunson. No, it is Blonde Brunson, 76. 7,600. Cannonier is the favorite right now, -160. Blonde Brunson, +140. And guess what? Blonde Brunson doesn't lose. He's just a mythical being. No, in all seriousness, I think Brunson can get a takedown and ground and pound Cannonier out of here. I know Cannonier can be hard to hold down. I think Brunson does it here. I think the wrestling will be good enough as long as the chin holds up. Knock on wood. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, so I picked Brunson for RotoWire. I'm very nervous about that pick. I mean, you know, Brunson, even in his wins, he's gotten tagged. And I'm just afraid that of the fighters that he's gotten tagged by in fights that he won, that Cannonier may hit the hardest, which is what I'm a little fearful of. I'm going to have both sides of this fight. Obviously, we know what Brunson's path to victory is. The guy looked like he's in freakish shape. You know, he is older though. You know, Cannonier's no youngster himself. I think there's going to be an interesting fight. I really do. I mean, they each have paths to victory. I'm going to have some shares of each. Obviously, you know, getting Brunson home at 7.6, I believe, is not a bad way to go. So I'm going to stick with my pick with Brunson. I'm not going to change it, but it is a highly nervous pick.
Chris.
Yeah. Here I am. I am picking Brunson as well. I am just as nervous as you all are. Joe said it. Like, every fight, he gets tagged in a way where it looks like he's rocked and he has to panic wrestle and he gets it.
It doesn't look like he's rocked. He's rocked.
It doesn't look like it.
It is.
He slides around the cage. It's ridiculous. But the reason I'm picking him here is Cannonier just always keeps his back to the fence. He's gotten a little better with the lateral movement. His back is still to the fence. Now, there's two sides to this. One is that opponents are 1-16 in takedown attempts in his last three fights. And you might say, hey, you know, that's great. But the downside is that they got 16 attempts. And if Brunson give him 5 or 6 attempts, I have to assume that he wins 3 or 4 of those. And if he does, it's hard for me to believe that he doesn't win this fight, because not only is his pressure great, which it has always been, his ground and pound is brutal now. It's ridiculous. So I think that Brunson is going to get this to the mat at some point. I mean, it's the kind of fight where you're going to know pretty early if the take is good or not. If Brunson goes like 0 for his first three, that's probably a bad sign. But I think in those first couple, Brunson's going to find it. Just too the combination of strength and wrestling acumen is not something that Cannonier has faced. He's done a good job with the takedown defense since his fight with Glover Teixeira, but I just don't see him surviving it unless he knocks Brunson out early. So I have both, because if Cannonier wins, he might be live for that 60-second bonus. But I'm gonna have both sides, but I'm taking Brunson to get a wrestling based decision, or maybe a late finish with that ground and pound. Who knows? But Brunson is the pick.
All right, next fight up, we are going to talk about the co-main event. Derek Lewis, 8,800. Taking on Tai Tuivasa at 7,400. Line on this fight, Lewis minus 170, Tuivasa plus 150. My hot take is I have a sneaking suspicion that the most exciting part of this fight is the pre-fight presser we listened to, where Tuivasa said he'd do a shoey out of Lewis's cup. This one could be a stinker with a lot of staring. I have that kind of feeling. My official pick is Derek Lewis by knockout, but God, I could just see Tuivasa winning a decision where they both score 45 points. And what's interesting is I can see it going both ways. My mind tells me Derek Lewis is going to win by knockout, but my DFS player in me says everyone's going to play this fight. Just play 10% of each guy and move on. And if it's a stinker, you got a lot of leverage rather than try and guess who wins. So that's probably how I'm going to play it. And my official pick will still be Lewis by knockout, but I'm probably playing it the opposite way for game theory purposes. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I think Lewis knocks him out. I see where you're coming from, and I wish you would have gotten to me first, because I would have guessed your play there. But it's not terrible. It's funny when you look at Derek Lewis. He's the guy with the most knockouts in the world, right? And you figure, he gets all his. That knockout of Chris Dawkins was the first time he got a first round finish since 2016, since Gabriel Gonzaga. He extends fights because he doesn't normally pressure. He doesn't normally cut the cage until that last fight where he did both of those things. If Derek Brunson is going to do that, he's very scary. Combine that with the fact that Tai Tuivasa just likes to exchange too much. I mean, he almost got knocked out by Greg Hardy, for fuck's sake. So you don't exchange with Derek Lewis and win. It just doesn't happen. If Derek Lewis tags Tuivasa like Greg Hardy did, he won't be around to land a counter shot. So I think Derek Lewis knocks him out. I think I don't see Tuivasa being so reserved. I know he had that kind of a washout fight against Arlovsky way back. I think he's a different fighter now. I really think he likes to get in there and mix it up. I really think he loves attention, being the guy doing the shoey and the hay and the. And to his credit, he's become a very good combination pressure striker. But it's not going to work in this fight. Derek Lewis by knockout.
Joe.
Okay, let's make this easy. Fight is minus 550 to finish inside the distance. It's a great GPP fight. You should have both sides. I like Lewis to win, but I want shares of Tuivasa at 7.4K because he could be a slate breaker. I think these guys are going to stand in the middle and bang. Tuivasa does not know how to fight cautiously. So someone's going down. I'm going to take Derek Lewis for the win, but you should have shares of both fights. I would recommend more than 10% of each side, but again, it depends on how you're doing your builds, but give me Derek Lewis.
All right.
At home in Houston.
Main event time. Israel Adesanya, 9,200. Robert Whittaker, 7,000. The rematch. Adesanya minus 280. Whittaker plus 225. I'm taking the upset here. I was late to the Izzy bandwagon. I was. I admit it. I was late to the Izzy bandwagon.
You need both.
And there's something about just the way he's. And it's not. arrogance and cockiness is all good. It reaches a certain point where I start getting real concerned. And if Whitaker can fight more patient, maybe mix in a takedown, I think this is a close fight. And besides, so I'm going to lean towards Whitaker for that reason, because I think most people are on Izzy. And I think Whitaker, look, Whitaker, whether he was amped up and in his head, and that's why he was so aggressive, or he was having such a problem with the distance that he was lunging forward, leaving himself to be caught. Regardless, I don't think he's going to make that mistake again, which makes me think this fight is going to either be grappling based from Whitaker or really going to slow down to the point where Adesanya, even over five rounds at 9,200, I'm concerned about his price tag, especially when you have Casey O'Neill up there. The Ronnie Lawrence fight could score big. Jeremiah Wells and Blood Diamond, like, you know, Kyle Phillips, the king of volume. Like, is he going to be on the optimal at the ridiculous ownership he's going to get? Like, he's going to be 40 to 50% owned. I'm going to be under that for sure. I'm liking Joe's reaction, and I'll take it one step further. My two for two in cash games, I'm definitely playing Whitaker in cash. I don't know if I'm playing Izzy. I can't decide whether I go Adesanya and Rojo, or get more towards the mid range and play Derek Brunson and Bobby Green. That is my dilemma right now. The other four spots are locked in, and those are the two I cannot decide. I'm going to take Robert Whittaker for the pick, and I just, even if Adesanya wins, it's just something I just don't like about what's going on, you know, with his demeanor this week and how the fight, I see it playing out. So give me Whittaker. It's not super confident, except to say I'm pretty sure he's not a good DFS play this week, and that's weird to say. Joe, you're first.
Yeah, so I have faded Izzy in pretty much every physical confrontation he's had, including when he was 7 years old and he was wrestling his brother in his backyard. You know, so the fact that I actually picked Izzy to win on RotoWire definitely means that Whitaker's going to win here, because I have a horrible history of jumping on a bandwagon that I have been off. And that goes with Conor McGregor, you know, but I think that when you're talking about betting and DraftKings, you got to look at this fight differently. If I was going to bet, which I'm not going to bet on this fight, or at least I don't think I'm going to bet on this fight, I may be tempted to bet on Adesanya, put him in a parlay. I don't think Whitaker is going to have the same game plan. With that said, I am and have always been of the opinion that Yoel Romero took years off of Whitaker's career and perhaps even life. But for DraftKings, I think if the fight goes the 25 minutes, I think Whitaker has got a decent floor and has the upside of potentially winning the fight. So I don't like Izzy on DraftKings. There's just too much value on the upper end. There's too many proven point scorers here. I think the main event is very fadeable for GPPs, in all honesty. I mean, as a matter of fact, I would not in the least be surprised, if there was not a main event fighter on the optimal. We didn't have it last week. You know, so I'm going to stick with my pick of Izzy, but I do not really like him on DraftKings. I think he's priced too high. I think there are much better plays. And I do think that Whitaker is cash viable. So Izzy, but not on DraftKings.
Chris, take us home.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you guys said. The only thing that would really shock me in this fight is if one guy bulldozes the other. I think this fight is going to go be a lot more competitive than the first one. And I'm picking Whitaker as well. I think that, you know, your point is taken about, we all wonder, Sean, why he lunged like that. I had to convince myself I wasn't crazy, that he doesn't always fight like that, because I don't think the commentary team mentioned it all that much. But, you know, the leg kicks were working when he would go there. The problem is he would throw a leg kick, get Izzy out of position, and then go for one of those big looping shots again and just really throw himself out of position. I think if Whitaker stays the course, uses more kicks, He tried to do that front leg sidekick a lot, but he was always way out and trying to leap into range. If he pressures smartly, if he uses his kicks, he can freeze out Adesanya and maybe sneak that head kick up the side the way that Kevin Gastelum did. I was looking for that in the first fight. Didn't happen. But, you know, Izzy is going to have his length. He's going to have his countering ability. So Whitaker is going to have to fight that more smart control fight. But if he does, I think he can take the decision here. Maybe mixing a little bit more grappling. I think this is a really close fight. I am taking Whitaker.
All right, guys, it's time for hot takes. Guys, if you got them in chat, fire up some hot takes for the card. Before we go to ours, make sure to go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. And like I said, my hot take for the card, Luis Tuivasa goes to decision.
My hot take for the card, I was going to say Alex Hernandez just to annoy Sean, but that's not even the highest odds I would get on a knockout. So I'm going to go Bobby Green knocks out Moicano, which I believe is +450.
Well, Bobby Green's not fighting Moicano.
That'd be super impressive.
That'd be great. That is a hot take. That is a trans fight hot take.
Not
Moicano, Chris. Guys, just so you don't know, Chris lives in a part of New Jersey that is very affected by radon.
That's
so,
true,
like,
yeah.
Really, if you don't know what radon is, Google it. So Chris is actually picking a hot take for one fighter to knock someone out who's not even in his fight. So that
well, what's going to happen? He's going to knock out Hakkara so quickly. He's going to go to the back and then knock out.
That is a true hot take.
If Jorge Masvidal can do it, why not Bobby Green?
That's
true.
Exactly,
why not?
Right. So just to correct myself. Green knocks out Hakkaras, and I believe that's +450, depending on what book.
Okay, so guys, I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit here because, yeah, there,
I can,
there is.
Wait, hang on. I can bet in New York now, so let me just pull this up here.
Okay, so right, there is, Joe, there is actually, guys, you know there's something else going on this weekend, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a Super Bowl parlay, a same game parlay, okay, that you could do. And it is over Joe Burrow's 305 plus yards. Joe Burrow's 305 plus yards. Matthew Stafford pays 7-2. So you're getting +370. I think it's going to be, I think it's good. The game's going over. I like Cincinnati. It's going to air out. Give me that parlay. I really like it a lot. If you want something in MMA, I know
we could
that
not be more different on the Super Bowl, by the way. Yeah, so we couldn't. I have the Rams and the under.
I like Cincy and the over, and I like it to be aired out.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want something in MMA, you know, I was kind of looking at something with Moicano, but like, you know, Brett, I really think Moicano's going to get the finish, but my good buddy Brett Apley, I think Moicano to win by decision is a pretty high number. I don't have it open. So that's a play. You know, Moicano by decision, but I'm going to give you that Super Bowl parlay that you guys can all cash on.
I like it. All right.
Ooh, that's nice, Ryan.
Ryan, that'd be fantastic. I'd be very, very happy where I wouldn't even care if Joe's Super Bowl play hits because then mine won't. I agree with Joe. Main event won't be optimal. Yeah, I like that too.
Okay, Tomas, thank you.
I think it's going to be, I mean, we know it's going to be high owned. I think there's some serious leverage to be had there. Everyone, a secondary hot take is I didn't do, oh, we got another one. Blood Diamond hits the 60-second prop. Somebody in that fight probably is.
Yeah, somebody could for sure.
So,
of course, you know, non doesn't even give the name Blood Diamond. He actually uses his given name.
Yeah.
Like only non would do that.
Yeah. He probably knows how to say it, and I have no clue.
Well, look, I like Nod, but I only understand like every third thing he says. He's so far more of an intellectual than I am that I don't really understand most of what he says. But
one other one, ready? This is a really hot take. Casey O'Neill puts up her highest ever DraftKings score, and that's impressive because she's scored 140 points before.
Wow!
Okay, there you go.
It's a hot take, dude.
I like Casey O'Neill a ton. Okay, guys, wait, we got another one. Hot take. Oh yeah, no, you put up that one there. Oh, yeah. I deleted it. You deleted it. Yeah, there it is. On that note,
Lewis's balls will be lukewarm. I love it.
Be lukewarm. I like it. On that note, guys, good luck in your contest. Subscribe to the podcast. We'll see you next time.
Yo.
Thanks, everybody. Mm-hmm.